The identical dresses worn by the Charpentier children in this painting reveal a little-known aspect of 19th-century Western dress codes, in which infants and young children were dressed alike in dresses or petticoats until about age 4 or 5. At this time in history, when doing laundry was tedious and a lengthy process, having young children wear petticoats or frocks until they were toilet trained made sense from a practical standpoint. As well, infants and young children were seen as asexual beings and for this reason were dressed alike. For example, in the fashion plate shown here, the child is dressed in a jacket and skirt that could be worn by either a boy or a girl. Photographs from this time also capture many young boys dressed in petticoats or a tunic and skirt, including this undated photo of two young boys. The younger boy is wearing a checked ensemble consisting of a tunic and skirt trimmed in velvet, while his older brother wears a wool suit consisting of a jacket worn with knickerbockers. Tailoring guides from this time reveal an age-related progression of attire for boys from petticoats indicated before age 3, jackets with skirts suggested for ages 3 to 6, and tunic over trousers for boys aged 6 to 12. Short wool jackets and trousers for ages 12 to 15, and suits for boys over age 15. The transition from petticoats and dresses into short pants and then trousers took on symbolic importance as a rite of passage for a boy. But the age at which this occurred was a matter of individual choice. As every mother is desirous that her little one should be seen at their best, it will be her pride and pleasure to exercise her taste and judgment in this direction, as quoted by Claire Rose in Age-Related Clothing Codes for Boys in Britain, 1850 to 1900. With the emergence of department stores and mass production methods for clothing in the later part of the 19th century, the options for boys expanded. But there was also a significant shift in ideals of masculinity that resulted in marked restrictions in the types of clothing and colors available for boys. As historians, including Joe Paletti, have observed, by about 1920, it was seen as highly inappropriate for boys to wear dresses, lace, ruffles, and other feminine-coded garments, details, or colors. Renoir's portrait of the Charpentier family reminds us that the dress codes that signal gender are linked to culture as well as a specific time and place in history. The idea that boys do not wear dresses dates back only about a century. Gender is a culturally specific notion, something that is learned rather than innate. Interpreting a painting such as this one by Renoir requires careful observation and reflection of the inherent biases of our own standpoint in culture. Edgar Degas painted La Belle Époque, the beautiful era, which is the end of the 1800s. Just by way of personal anecdote, it's La Belle Époque, and it's generally pronounced La Belle Époque, but when said quickly, it can sound like La Belle Époque. As a student, I heard the words during lectures, but since there was no text on the slides, I never saw the words written, and the term was never explained. Hearing the belly park was the subject of Degas' paintings, I understood this to mean that Degas painted an exciting and new locale in the heart of Parisian society, the belly park. An electric and modern place in Paris somewhere. Much to my eternal chagrin, it was years later that I realized that the belly park was actually La Belle Époque. And it was a time, not a place. It was a way of life, not a location. It was a beautiful era, not a new development site in Paris. Just as a technical aside, Degas wasn't really an impressionist at heart, but don't tell the art historians that. Degas exhibited with the impressionists and valued many of the same things they did, but his philosophy and approach to art was, in some ways, radically different than the other impressionists. Whereas other impressionists were interested in light, Degas was in many ways all about line, and this becomes more and more clear in his Late Bather series. Degas used incredibly innovative compositions. Much of his approach was attributed to Japanism, Japanese prints, and photography. He studied Japanese prints for their compositional techniques, but also looked to photography as he felt it was a way to capture movement in its exact truth. Sometimes he would physically cut his canvas to get a better cropped look to relate more to the kind of composition a camera might capture, and to look like it was an unplanned and free composition. But that was just artful cropping on Degas' part. No art was less spontaneous than mine, Degas said once. Every aspect was carefully constructed, and he rarely worked outside of his studio, as he made endless preparatory drawings and studies for his works, sometimes making hundreds for a single final painting. He chose dancers and horses as his most frequent subjects because he wanted to convey the sense of beauty of movement, and horses and dancers had perfect musculature and athleticism. He, like Pablo Picasso and Henri Matisse, who would come after him, could draw like an old master thanks to the advice given to him by Ong in his youth. Advice that he should draw and draw some more. The harshest critics had to congratulate him on his ability to draw, and may have been able to accept in a small way the avant-garde because of his ties to the old master techniques as well. Degas was a bit of a bridge between the old established ways of art and the new styles emerging in the later parts of the 1800s. As he aged, he began constructing perspective in ways that would be influential and important for the avant-garde that came after him.